Hey friends, I'm Stacey, and I love chatting about teen books. What makes this podcast a little different is that I want to encourage your curiosity beyond the book. So how will I do that? Each month, I'll feature one book and discuss its highlights. You know, the things that made me love it. I'll also share the things that didn't knock my socks off. Then I'll explore what the book taught me and how it inspired a curiosity of information well after the story finished. But I won't be exploring these books on my own. Each month we'll feature various guests, co-hosts, adding their thoughts to the conversation. Now, let's get on with our episode. Curious Reader Podcast listeners, thank you for joining me for another episode. And if this is your first time, thank you for tuning in and giving this podcast a chance. For those that don't know, the podcast is recorded at the Goffstown Public Library in Goffstown, New Hampshire during business hours. So you may hear a phone ring, some background talking, maybe the ding of the elevator. And I think it just adds to the overall uniqueness of the podcast. So I'm Stacey, welcome, and I, of course, would like to say welcome back to Reva and Daisy. And I'm so excited to have you both here again. I love your passion for books and the lively discussions we have. You can say hi if you want.
Hi.
Hi.
All right. So Reva chose the book that we're going to be discussing this month. It is Short by Holly Goldberg Sloan. And so let's dive right in. So, girls, what I'm going to do first is I'm going to give a summary of the book, and then I basically want you, both you, Reva and Daisy, to just, I'm going to let you take it away, okay? So, Short by Holly Goldberg Sloan is a story about a 12-year-old girl named Julia. And Julia is only, I think, like 4'2" tall. She's really short for her age. And because of her size, she often feels invisible and overlooked by others. Julia wishes she was spending the summer with her two best friends, Piper and Kaylee, but one has left for summer camp and the other is taking a trip across the U.S. visiting baseball stadiums. She's also mourning the death of her beloved dog, Ramon. Julia's mom persuades her to audition for a spot in a play that's put on by the community theater group. And Julia feels she's not the talented one in the family, and so she reluctantly auditions, and she's cast as a munchkin. She decides to throw herself into the role with enthusiasm, determined to make the most of her opportunity. And as rehearsals progress, Julia befriends a diverse group of performers, including a talented and interesting neighbor, an adult woman who is also cast as a munchkin, and she is just as small as Julia, but she doesn't let her height define her. And finally, she also gets close to the director. And Julia learns valuable lessons about acceptance, inclusion, and the power of the arts that brings people together. Despite facing many challenges along the way, including stage fright and bullying, Julia never loses sight of her goal. Through hard work and determination, she proves to everyone that she is capable of achieving her dreams, no matter her size or the size of her role. So, Reva and Daisy, give your thoughts on the book. So through this, we'll get our hits and misses. So what are your thoughts here?
I really like a lot of things. I love how through the entire book, she's talking about how, like, it's not even talking about this, but, like, I've noticed that, like, she talks, like, through, it kind of, like, it's kind of like if, like, the speed of my thoughts were written down on a page. Mm-hmm. Like, she goes to one thing, she bounces off of another.
Yes.
And she, like, somehow, it's really sad, but she always goes back to her dog, Ramon, who had a heart disease.
Mm-hmm.
And he died, and they didn't know how old he was because he was a rescue.
Yeah.
But I noticed that, like, throughout the entire book, she is, like, thinks about everything from, like, her dog to, like, I think at one point she mentions how, like, she doesn't like a type of food.
Yeah.
For reasons of unremembered origin. I really like that. I really liked about how, like, they made, like, the most, like, I love how they made the most, like, unique characters that you just couldn't write otherwise. And I've read one of her other books, Counting by Sevens, and that was also amazing. And I really like her, like, writing style.
Yeah. I think what you were mentioning about how Julia kind of bounced around, like, you hear her thoughts as other things were going on. And I think that's very typical of, like, a 12-year-old or even adults. I mean, you know, that, I think, is what goes on in our mind, right? We're thinking about something, but then all of a sudden we think about something else. Then we see something in our mind, like, thinks about that. But then we go back to the other thing we're thinking about. And all of that was kind of in the book. And I think that also made it really funny and relatable. That was my thought.
For me, I read this book, like, it was like a couple of months ago, and one thing that I noticed is that I could not put this book down. Yeah. Like, my mom would, like, I would be up at night, and my mom would, like, get up to go to the bathroom, and she'd be like, "You're still up reading?" And I'm like, "Yeah, this book is awesome." And then, like, you guys were saying, it really made me laugh, and I liked, like, the diverse characters, and just, like, how do I explain this? Hold on. I lost my train of thought.
That's okay.
It's coming back. How, like, even though she, like, didn't really believe in herself at first, she kind of, like, you know what? Like, I'll give it a try. And just, like, even though you might not like something at first, like, it might be, like, your thing. Like, something that you'll love.
Exactly. Yeah, I know. It was funny. She was like, because doesn't she have to watch her younger brother, like, and that's who her mom was, like, wanted her younger brother to audition. And then she's like, "Well, you might as well audition too, because he's going to be auditioning." And ultimately, I guess Julia's going to have to watch him anyway. So I think she was like, "Well, I guess I'm going to have to."
Yeah, it's kind of those, like, "Well, might as well throw my entire personality into this."
Yep. Yep. Exactly. And then, but she ended up really loving it. And I think it helped her deal with the grief that she was going through. But also just realizing more about herself and other people. So,
yeah.
Yeah. All right. Did you have a favorite character?
I absolutely loved Olive.
Same.
Yeah.
I think a little bit more than Julia did.
And Julia, I think, really loved Olive. So,
yeah.
I really also liked, was it Mrs. Chang?
Yeah, she, Mrs. Chang.
Yeah, so she,
like, quirky and fun character.
Yeah, and there was, like, so much that they learned about her. And I think the other thing is, like, that Julia, like, that had been her neighbor for so long, and she wasn't really, didn't really know her or anything about her. And she does the costumes, right, for everyone?
Yeah, and she does a flying monkey at some point, because that's the
only... Yes!
She says, like, "Okay, I'll do the costumes, but on one condition, I get to be a flying monkey."
Which I think is hilarious.
Yeah, also because I think she did The Wizard of Oz when she was, like, younger. Mm-hmm. So she wanted to, like, relive that memory.
Yeah. Yep. So for anyone who has not read this book, The Wizard of Oz is the play that they end up, the community production company puts on. And I guess maybe when I said Munchkin, you probably may have already figured that. But the flying monkey cracked me up because... So when I actually watched The Wizard of Oz when I was younger, the flying monkey scared me so much.
They're terrifying.
They did mention in the book, like, she had a flying monkey mask on. Like, as she was getting closer to Julia, she was like, "That scares the living daylights out of me. Get away from me.
Please back up."
Also, I'm just, every time Mrs. Chang talks about being a flying monkey, I'm just imagining her, like, in her harness being the flying monkey on stage.
I did imagine that, and I just imagined, wow, I would have absolutely died.
That'd be so funny to watch, though. Just, like... And, like, an older woman on stage. Like,
terrifying.
Living her best life.
Yeah. Terrifying as it may be. And she does mention she's, like, 76, so you can just imagine, like... And she's not frail at all. It mentions, like, she made a table.
Yeah.
She made, like, some puppets. She absolutely destroyed the costume-making thing. And you can just imagine this, like, fierce, young old woman, like, flying across a stage.
And so I think that was another thing that I loved about the book, is that the diverse characters, but also, as we talked about, the age of Mrs. Chang, and how Julia could see all the wonderfulness in all these different ages, and that there's so much that life has to offer. I think that the role model, or the adults in this book, were, like, awesome role models. And so I love seeing a book like that. And they were equally, like you said, loving Olive. Even though Julia was the main character, there was such depth in all the other characters that you couldn't help but love them as well and want to know more about them.
Yeah,
great writing right there.
All of them were amazing, and I loved how at one point the director refuses to put, at first, she did get to be a flying monkey,
yes.
but he refused to put Mrs. Chang in there because of age, mm-hmm. and Olive goes into a rant, not a rant, but like a justified rant about how she faces dwarfism and I think even racism almost every single day or on a daily basis, mm-hmm. and how, like, that's ageism, and he's the same age as her.
Yeah.
Like at some point, Sean Barr eventually, it comes to, like, that Mrs. Chang in 76, and so is Sean Barr, which is the director. Mm-hmm. And he's like, well, okay. But, like, she, like, does this entire, paragraph of speech where she's making a point of, you can't just not hire someone because of their age, because this woman is, like, her physical state is amazing mm-hmm. for her, a woman like yeah. her.
Yeah, so it does. I think that the book did a great job at putting before you certain things that are difficult to talk about, like disabilities and, you know, ageism and sexism and race, all of those things that need to be talked about. And I thought it was talked about really well in this book and makes people stop and think, okay, why is it wrong to do these things? And this book really shows you mm-hmm. why it's wrong. Mm-hmm. So I liked that. Did you have more, Reva? Because you're like smiling over there. Like, did you remember something else
I'm
you
just,
loved?
Like, kind of agreeing. Also, every time they talk about Sean Barr, mm-hmm. I always, when I'm reading it, I always picture him as like, I don't know, like not 76 years old. So then whenever they mention, that he is 76 years old, I'm like, what? No, he's not. I don't believe that.
It's kind of unbelievable.
Yeah, because like whenever I read a book, I always picture the characters, and then when I find out that they're not what I pictured them, it's like, no, that's not true.
Especially when like sometimes I'll read a book and I'll imagine a character in a certain way, and then I say like fan art, and I'm like, I don't think so.
Yeah, or like a movie comes out and it's like, no, that's not it.
Just like, yeah, my fandom and I disagree.
I loved in this book too, just like how funny Julia was. I'm trying to think.
How
like,
relatable.
Like,
yes.
Things that she says that she doesn't realize what she's saying.
Yeah.
And then it's so, because that's totally something that I do. I'll just be talking and then, like, with adults or something, and then they'll be, like, laughing. I'm like, what?
What did I say?
It's like, it's just, like, so relatable.
It's, yeah. like, comically relatable.
Yeah.
It's like, that is something I've done. And over there. Yes, and I've done that.
And then when I eventually start giving her the nickname Baby, like, it sounds weird, but, like, it's...
yeah, it's, like, something that would absolutely happen, like, some ridiculous kind of thing.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. That's, like, something that would never happen to anyone else. Mm-hmm.
The first part that I, like, really found myself laughing out loud was when, so in the beginning, when they were auditioning, and I think that's when they were auditioning, but she was, like, she saw a man, and she thought it was a kid, and she's like, what? They're allowing kids to smoke in this play because he yeah. had a cigarette, but yeah. ultimately it ends up, you know, being that it
was a man with dwarfism.
Yeah. But I was just, that was so funny. She's like, what? We're going to let kids smoke in this play? What kind of play is this?
No wonder these are closed auditions.
yeah.
So I thought that was so funny. And that was like the first time where like I started laughing out loud. And then she just kept like little zingers, funny yeah. things like that throughout
and
the book.
And then I realized like, oh, I kind of am her.
Yeah,
ooh, that's the first thing I would immediately think.
Yeah.
Is there allowing kids to smoke?
Yeah.
What's going on here? Yeah, I liked all of that, too.
Yeah.
Really, really good. I never write Counting by Sevens, but I think that I'm going to want to because...
Oh, absolutely.
That's the next yeah. book.
You oh think gosh, that should yes. be the next one? We should have like a Holly Goldberg Sloan, you know,
yeah.
series yeah. on it.
This time I'll be the one who's actually read it first.
Yeah.
You guys will have to cram the night before.
Yep, yeah. we will. But I heard wonderful things about that, and seeing how wonderful Short was, I kind of agree with that.
Yeah.
So other things you want to talk about with this book?
I think I've said it before. I love the representation of every single character.
Mm-hmm.
Could not be more different.
Yeah.
Mrs. Chang, she lost her daughter to cancer. She's like this quirky, most like creative 76-year-old I think I'll ever read about or mm-hmm. hear about.
Yeah.
Sean Barr is also the same age but completely different, so theatrical and bouncy and like exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Julia's like, I think she has not stunted growth but like kind of delayed growth for her age.
Yeah.
She's like 12 and she's like...
Yeah, she's like 4'9".
Yeah.
And everyone in her family, aside from like, I think it was like her grandmother, right? So like she has like her grandmother's genes or something like that. But everyone else seems to be taller of like, you know, average height.
Like she's like first thing comes to her mind, almost always says it out loud. Olive is like amazing. And she, at one point... Julia says, I used to have, I think it was Eleanor Roosevelt as her role model, but she says, no, Olive's my role model now. And then, Gianni, I think. I don't know how to pronounce his name. It was spelled G-I-A-N-N-I.
Mm-hmm. Gianni,
You know, it was like he eventually kind of dubbed the nickname Baby onto Julia. And he's like kind of like chill and relaxed. It was just amazing, because, like, that's one of the only things that you could, you can almost always accurately pinpoint it, because you've experienced or seen it before, or you can absolutely get everything wrong.
Yeah.
It's one of those things where she pinpointed every single, like, little diversity thing correctly, and I would feel like, yeah, this could have absolutely happened, and something similar probably did happen.
Now, one thing, because you mentioned all these different diverse people that are in here and the different ages, but also that a lot of them were adults, and how well and Julia got along with being around adults. And so do you think that's very similar to both of you? Do you enjoy being around adults, have conversation with adults, that kind of?
It's so nice because like. I like having conversations with the little kids because no one's going to ask me what my third favorite reptile is. No one in the world.
Yeah.
But, like, adults is nice because I get to talk about, like, I don't know. I don't want to use intellectual, but, like...
Like, it's almost like gossiping with them about stuff.
Gossiping about real life and taxes.
Yeah.
I just finished my taxes today. So I thought that was interesting. So it was interesting to hear that, you know, when I was younger, I remember my mom sometimes would be like, okay, go like hang out with your cousins. Go away. Like, why do you want to be with adults? But I always wanted to be with adults.
That's what my mom says. Like, I just love hearing the conversation.
Yeah.
It's so interesting.
Yeah. It's amazing.
And then, like, the family drama too.
And it gives you things to think about, right? Like, you like to think about them later on, like, kind of...
Like, what their opinion is on stuff.
I've kind of avoided as kids will give you conversations that you will laugh over absolutely days later.
Mm-hmm.
And adults will give you conversations that you can think seriously over. Like, you can have, like, more deep thoughts about.
Yeah. Well, that's a nice way to look at it.
And there's a lovely way to combine two, and it's called having a family.
That is
because
lovely.
I have one cousin, 7 years old. Mm-hmm. He loves cars, loves it. He like always talks about, he'll come back and he talks like a full sentence in French because of, he went to Montreal.
Oh, okay.
And he loves trains. He memorized how to say, like, I think bus two is leaving at this moment.
No.
It was so sweet.
It's sweet.
Yeah.
All right. Were there any misses for you in this book? Like, or did you just love it so much that really, like, even if there's a little flaw, who cares?
For at the end of the book, I feel like the lot, I don't know, I wish they kind of, like, talked more about how, like, the concerts went. Because I feel like they only really did, like, two. And then also, I wish, I wish Olive and Gianni got together.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Because, like, the whole, like, first half, Olive and Gianni were kind of, like, flirting and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, Olive finally kind of works up the courage to, like, maybe go over and talk to him. And then, like, Gianni is just, like, with another girl, and it's like, oh, really?
Yeah.
You just, oh, really?
You want to punch someone in that moment.
Yeah.
I was so close to throwing that book across the room.
Oh, and so that's because we get invested together, in the relationship, probably. Right?
Yeah.
All right, so you would have had that go a different way if you were writing it. I got it.
Also, I feel like they should do another book on Julia's brother.
Oh,
is
yeah.
His name Randy?
Yeah, Randy.
Randy's the younger one, right?
Yeah. Tim's the older one.
Okay, yep, so. Yeah.
I feel like they should do a book, at home life, too. Like, maybe during the school year.
Mm.
Like, Julia tries out for, like, the school play. And then you can see more of the home life. That'd be cool. And, like, your friends.
That'd be lovely.
Also, it's really weird that one of her friends is going to tour baseball stadiums.
Yeah.
That's so random.
So weird. I mean, like, but, like my family has, like, not my half of the family, but the other half of the family has done that while they're doing something else. Just like, hey, we might want to see, like, I think they went to see the Dodgers Stadium.
Yeah, so, like, if you're already in that city and you've realized that.
Like, hey, this might be a good thing.
But, like, just going to see baseball stadiums, that's like, a little...
I mean...
Yeah.
Are they going to see different games? Like, what?
So that was the other thing, too. I wasn't sure if... Right, because are they seeing games, or are they just, like,
are
driving
going,
and
I know
visiting
stadium,
empty stadiums?
Going, or are they, like, learning about the history?
I don't know.
Like, what's going on?
I don't know.
Yeah. It's like, because I know for a fact people do both of those reasons. I'm not sure.
It's, I guess, their interests, right? You know, our interests might be a little bit different. You said something about the history, though, like history of the stadiums, but there was actually quite a bit of information history-wise in this book, too. So I talked a little bit about Eleanor Roosevelt, but then also about the author, too. The Wizard of Oz. And so I really liked that you got a little bit of that kind of history and information in there, and that Julia was kind of interested in the author and who wrote it. So that was interesting to me, too.
I think at one point, her dentist.
Yes.
I think it's her dentist.
Yep.
Yeah. She says, like, I think it's L. Sean. I don't remember who wrote it, but it's like L. If you can try and find it, please correct me. It's L something something, but she thinks it's L as in E L,
and she tries like in Spanish.
Like Spanish, or... And she spends like the entire other half of the day thinking, is it the or he? Is it what does that stand for? And I think at one point she realizes it's the letter L, like it stands for something.
Yeah, I
and
think I'd it's like, L.
Well,
Frank
this is getting
Baum
a little,
is yeah. who I think it is.
Like, well, this is getting a bit too relatable.
Yeah.
Of course, I can never find something with him, but I'm pretty sure it's the author is L. Frank Baum.
Yeah.
With just the letter L, because his first name was something with an L, and he dropped it, and then she was like, but why did he just keep the L? I don't know. That is weird. Yes. L. Frank Baum. He wrote 55 novels, including The Wonderful Wizard of Oz, and I didn't actually even know that. So...
I didn't know who wrote The Wizard of Oz.
Yeah. So now I was like, oh, I'm very interesting to see that.
Yeah.
You learn a new thing every day?
I don't know. I started reading, like, this was a pause because all of a sudden I started reading. I was like, now I feel certain of one thing. Writers get the short end of the stick. And I was like, oh, okay. Thinking of another expression that isn't great. It's just not, it's because it uses the S word as I continue on reading. But
it just kind of sucks you in.
Yeah. It does. It does.
It's that good of a book.
It's that good of a book, and I think that everybody should read it.
It did make me cry a little bit.
And it's relatable. And it's relatable to, like, everyone, no matter what age you are, too, which is good.
Yeah.
Like, a kid, an adult, an older adult.
Yep, I agree.
Absolutely.
So anything that you, when you were reading this, that, like, made you think beyond the book? So, like, obviously for me, one thing was, like, learning a little bit more about dwarfism. So I did, like, a little research on that. Was there anything for both of you that you kind of thought, like, beyond the story that you wanted to know more or anything within it? Theater, maybe, even, or?
I feel like it kind of did a good job of explaining things in this book.
Like, if it said one thing, it gave you, like... It gave you, she immediately said, like, the definition of another thing.
Yeah.
And it was amazing because they, it's not one of those confusing books where you're like, wait, where are we?
Mm-hmm.
It's something that you kind of, like, you can flip to one page, and because her thoughts are so randomized and so quick going, you can kind of be like, oh, I kind of get an idea. You obviously have to have more context than that to actually enjoy the story, but it's one of those really... like rare and good books where it's like you flip to a page and you'll be like, oh, I see.
Yeah, I know. I would say that, like, we're talking about how her thoughts and stuff were kind of all, you know, she had different thoughts, but it was definitely easy to follow the story. Like, it's not like you had to reread a page like, wait a second, what was that saying? I think that everything flowed really well and it was not confusing, which was lovely.
Also, I noticed that whenever... one of the adults said a word. Mm-hmm. I thought in my head, what the heck does that word mean? And then I'd keep reading, and Julia asked, what does that mean? And I was like, yes. Because I didn't have to, like, go look it up or something.
You have to go on Google this
time. Thank you, Julia, for asking.
Yeah, thank you for being relatable.
It's, like, written how, like, a kid can understand it. So it's, like, it's easy to read. It's not, like...
I feel like the adult field could, find it funny, but I feel like it's more, more relatable towards...
Like a kid.
Yeah,
like our age.
It's kind of like Shrek, of which I'm wearing a shirt right now, which is convenient. It's like, it's fun for the kids, but there's also like for the parents who have to watch it 20 times a day, there are little jokes in there.
Yeah, there's a lot that can keep them involved in it. And
it's kind of like flipped of that.
Yeah.
So while we're recording this in March, most people probably won't hear it till April, but that's okay. I would say what was great about this book as well is that March is Disability Awareness Month. So I kind of thought that that was great that this kind of fit in with that. And so I ended up looking up a little bit about dwarfism just because I was curious. And so the first place I went to was Washington University, and they did a little some information about little people and dwarfism. People with disabilities is the largest minority group in the country, but yet we do not see ourselves as represented. We're in less than 1% of TV shows and movies. 5 years ago, I was sick of those same statistics, and I decided I wanted to take action. This is a quote from Nick Novicki. He was the creator of Easter Seals Disability Film Challenge. And so I thought that was really great quote right there that I wanted to put out, that while people with disabilities is a large minority group, they are in less than 1% of TV shows and movies. And that's pretty that's staggering, crazy. Right? Crazy. So a little person is one of more than 200 medical is one of the more than 200 medical conditions known as dwarfism. Dwarfism is a medical or genetic condition that usually results in an adult height of 4 foot 10 inches or shorter, although in some cases a person with a form of dwarfism may be slightly taller than that. The condition that causes dwarfism may also cause other symptoms, and the average height of an adult with dwarfism is 4 feet, but typical heights range from actually 2 foot 8 inches to 4 foot 8 inches. And some tips on when you're talking to people with dwarfism is to not crouch or kneel when speaking to a little person. Appropriate terms include little person, person of short stature, dwarf, or LP, though it is most respectful to actually just refer to somebody by their name. The word, and I don't know if you have heard this word very much, it's very a derogatory term, but growing up, this was the term that everyone, adults that I knew, used. So I am saying this word only in context of explaining why it is derogatory. But the word midget is considered highly offensive, and a little person may choose not to identify as a person with a disability or part of a disability community. And so I do think it is an offensive word, but of course I wanted to figure out, like, where did that word even originate from and why were people using it?
Yeah.
To begin with. Right. And so, going to, Little People of America's website, which is the world's oldest and largest dwarfism support organization. It's international, it's membership based, and it's for people with dwarfism and their families. So sorry, I must need to take some water. It advocates to abolish the use of the word midget. It was never coined as the official term to identify people with dwarfism, but it was created as a label used to refer to people of short stature who were on public display for curiosity and sport. And so I'm kind of thinking maybe like early on, like in the circuses and, you know, I don't know if you've ever watched, what's that?
Greatest Showman.
Yes. And there's even like, that part, but you know, looking at maybe the different people that were somewhat put on display as curiosities and,
And like, of course, it's like only in the spirit of this is a period drama.
Right. Yeah.
Never would anyone like in modern, I hope not, no one would ever do this in modern days, but they did represent a little person on there.
Yeah.
And I thought, cool.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think that P.T. Barnum, you know, if you look at some history of P.T. Mm-hmm. Barnum, that some controversial of how he displayed people in his shows and circuses and whether or not it was to their benefit.
Yeah, now I'm looking back at it, it was like, it was supposed to be like showing that like everyone is unique and everyone is like,
yeah.
But like, it's still a circus and it's still like.
I feel like circus is kind of demeaning to the people displaying
right,
it.
Right, yeah. And I think that, you know, that's, you know, something to look at. And that's, I think, the controversial side of it.
Because, like, that's probably why, some people came to, like, I know that some people probably was for their talent, but for their other people.
Yeah. It's for, you know, that's left at the minority people.
So, so I thought that was interesting, where that came from. And you know, again, a big part of what Little People of America talk about is that when they surveyed their community about the usage and overall impact of the word, over 90% of the members surveyed stated that the word should never be used in reference to a person with dwarfism. And as an advocacy organization, the charge is to lead in providing accurate and current information to the public when the word is used erroneously, and some people carelessly use it or just don't even, may not know yet, and so just correcting is the right thing to do. Whether the intention of the user of the word is used to bully or demean or just as a synonym for a small or collective experience, it shows that language has the power to cause permanent damage. And I think that this book also was kind of showing that too, that certain words we use can cause permanent damage to people, and it's important that we're not degrading or negative or demeaning in being with people in a mean spirit of any way.
In any purposeful aspect.
Yeah. And so we're going to be wrapping up here in a little bit, but I have a couple other things. So I will say that also the grief that Julia felt over the passing of her dog, I think it's something that's also so relatable. Like, I've had a few dogs, and each one, the passing of them has always been so difficult because they're, like, a member of your family. They're,
I mean, even though it's only, like 3 or, like, 4 years, it's still, like, a lot. Yeah.
It is.
Like, it's not quite the same to a dog, just a little bit different. But I did have a bearded dragon.
Well, yeah, I would say
thorn,
some. Yeah.
And he did quite, like, grow, like, at first we were like, what do we do with this?
Mm.
But, like, he quite, like, was so active, and he always liked to scurry around, and loved
like,
him.
And he would, like, snuggle with you if you, like, put him up on your
shoulder.
No,
really?
And, like, watch TV with him.
But the poops were criminally offensive.
Oh, they're not good.
He was so nice, and we eventually grew to have a very strong connection with him, and we were checking with him all, every day. But when he died, which was last year, it was awful, and like we all had a little memorial for him. And we actually like dug him a little grave, and we put his favorite log on top of it. It was so nice. And I felt like very like I know like I didn't have a dog, but I did feel the grief of like
but
losing
you
a
felt
pet.
The grief of losing something that was someone something you know some member that was important to you. And I think that for Mrs. Chang, that was probably wonderful for Julia because she felt the grief of what she went through with her daughter. And it helped Julia just understand grief. So it's so important to have support. You know, it might not be the exact same thing, but, you know, grief is something that we all feel. And we can all relate to, and we can all help each other through. So my one last thing was that Julia shifts from apprehension and self-doubt to exhilaration when she tries new things, in short. You know, so she's not sure she wants to try out. She doesn't think she has much talent. But then she starts realizing, like, hey, this is pretty great. So do you get nervous when you're trying new things?
Yes.
And
absolutely.
Yeah.
Like, I just had lacrosse tryouts yesterday, and I was so, like, I've been playing since fifth grade, and I was still really nervous.
It was last year, but when I was trying out for roller derby, I thought, oh my gosh, all of the girls, everyone on the teams, like, their bodies must be so small, and they must be so athletic, and I was worried about being self-conscious, even though my weight's, like, normal for a girl of my age, but I was so worried. Like, all of them, the bodies could not be more diverse. There are skinny girls, there are girls that, like, up to my hip.
Yeah.
There's one girl in fourth grade, and she's amazing. Some of the girls are bigger, some of the girls are smaller, some of the girls are right in between. And I was like, well, this feels amazing.
Isn't that wonderful?
But, like, I was so nervous before.
So you kind of answered my next question, was like, when have you been surprised to discover that you, okay, so maybe this actually is a little bit different. Have you done something that you actually thought you were going to really hate, and then you were surprised and discovered that actually you really loved it?
All the time. Oh, for me, it was, so I used to be in Girl Scouts, and then we weren't really doing a lot of fun things, so I moved to Boy Scouts, and like, it was the first meeting, and I like, didn't have my uniform or anything yet, mm-hmm. so like, I was the only one in like, a sweatshirt and like leggings, and I was like so nervous. And we were supposed to go swimming that night, and then of course it rained, mm-hmm. which it's like the ritual for them. If it's your first meeting, it's gonna suck, and it did. So you couldn't go swimming. And I was like so nervous, and then I loved it, and like I'm still in it today.
Oh, I'm so glad that you didn't like just say, okay, this one stunk, I'm not gonna go back.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
How about you, Daisy?
Oh, something that I thought I hated. I mean, I can't name every name of the movie my mom has ever suggested to me ever, because I've loved them all, and I thought I would hate them.
But you thought you would hate them, so that happened,
And it's one of those things where, like, I still think I'm going to hate something that my mom gives me. I don't. It's amazing. Like, 90% of the time.
Look at that. That's it.
It's like, just today, I went to wear my Converse, and my mom was like, you should wear them. They match the outfit. And I was like, you know what? They do. And they match my outfit really good.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Hey, that's so good to hear. You know, so I feel like that with my curly hair. You know, I kept trying to straighten it. I hated it. And then I said, you know what? I'm just going to sport the curly hair, and I'm just going to go with it, even when it's super fluffy some days.
Yeah.
You know? So, you know, what are you going to do? Well, we have to kind of wrap this up because we have some teen painting to do right after this.
Yeah,
I've put a lot into this one day of mine. I don't know what I was thinking, but I did. So I am supposed to have another part where I say something, but I have lost my page.
You can use mine.
Thank you.
We can share this one.
All right. So this is another wrap of the Curious Reader podcast. Thank you for listening. A special thank you again to Daisy and Reva. I love having them on here because they're not shy to say anything, and they talk about the books, and I just think that that's great. And they've always had great book recommendations as well. So, you know, what can you ask for? If you're a teen in the Goffstown community, though, and you are interested in chatting about books around the microphone, you should come see me at the Goffstown Public Library. Remember, if you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to help support the podcast, please share it with others, post about it on social media, and don't forget to subscribe so that you never miss an episode.
So please click that heart or give us a thumbs up to share the love of reading and discovering something new.
And remember, the Curious Reader seeks understanding beyond the book.